John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Covenant and the first person to proclaim publicly that Jesus of Nazareth is the Lamb of God, the one whose death would take away the sins of the world. And because of John's powerful preaching and compelling witness, it is no surprise that many of the people who listened to John and saw his signs wondered if perhaps he was the Messiah. And so we read in the gospel today that the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, Luke tells us, John preached the gospel to the people. As John the Baptist foretold, the fire of the Holy Spirit did fall upon the church at the day of Pentecost, and the baptism of the Lord Jesus replaced that of John. When we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit in our baptism, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love are poured into us as supernatural gifts from God. And these virtues then make it possible for us to live the life of the new creation, by which we grow in holiness through our cooperation with God's sanctifying grace. By the liberating obedience of faith, in which we entrust our entire selves to the Lord, we gradually learn to live the whole counsel of God. And the proof of our faith is found in the way we treat other people, most especially those who are in need or whom we regard as a burden or a nuisance. As this new life of grace takes root and grows in us over the years, the fruits of the Holy Spirit begin to emerge, and our way of life then bears witness to the power of divine love. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul names 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which are the result of mature and authentic friendship with the Lord Jesus. And the 12 are love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, generosity, gentleness, and faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. When one is living a Christ-centered life and cooperating with God's grace by means of the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love, then these 12 fruits of the Spirit are the result. They are, if you will, down payments on the glory to be revealed in the saints on the last day. And on this third Sunday of Advent, one of these 12 fruits of the Spirit is highlighted by the sacred liturgy: joy. In one form or another, joy is mentioned 16 times in the liturgical and scriptural texts at this Mass. And joy is at the heart of our second lesson, as St. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice." But the joy of which the apostle writes is not an emotion. And this bears repeating. The joy commended to us by St. Paul is not an emotion. In fact, given the hard realities of human life, if Paul were writing about an emotion, then the command to rejoice always would be fatuous nonsense. No, the joy of which St. Paul writes is not the result of pleasure or happiness or natural contentment of any kind. And more than that, the joy which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit can and does coexist with hardship, suffering, pain, sadness, and grief. Christian joy is a gift of God, and it comes only from a right relationship with God, from righteousness forged by right worship, right belief, and right living. Such joy or gladness is an essential part of authentic Christian worship and discipleship. And when others see that joy in our lives, it can and does draw them to follow the Lord Jesus, even in the way of the cross. During the first centuries after the resurrection, to be a Christian was often to live in great danger because of the fierce persecution of the church. And yet, multitudes of people came to saving faith in Jesus Christ despite the real risk of losing one's property, liberty, or life. One of the reasons for this strange paradox of coming to Christ despite the danger was that Christian martyrs often went to their violent deaths still radiant with joy because they knew that nothing could separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Such joy is not a feeling. It is a stable disposition of heart and mind and a way of understanding the world and our place in it. This joy comes not from us, but from the sure knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the wisdom and the power of God, that in his resurrection, our ancient enemies of sin and death are already vanquished, and that in holy baptism, we are made heirs of the kingdom of God and sharers in the eternal glory of God by the grace of adoption in Christ. To have such joy in one's life requires us not simply to be baptized, but to live every day in union with the divine Redeemer by grace through faith, hope, and love, meaning that Christianity cannot be a hobby we take up when it suits us or a refuge in which we take comfort when it is useful. Instead, Christianity must be for us a complete, coherent, comprehensive, Christ-centered way of life. And to live such a Christocentric life means that the Lord Jesus must be at the center of everything we are and have and do. Living this way requires of us Mass every Sunday, prayer every day, personal knowledge of sacred scripture, confession whenever needed, marriage only in the church, openness to life in marriage, chastity in all relationships, regular and generous service of those in need, and a willingness to forsake everything in our lives that is contrary to the gospel. Living in this way as a missionary disciple of Christ is the only path to authentic Christian joy. But if we know what the path to Christian joy is, then we also know what it is not. And casual or cafeteria Catholicism is not a path to Christian joy. Mass every now and again is not a path to Christian joy, still less Mass only at Christmas or Easter. Confession every third or fifth year is not a path to Christian joy, still less never going. Reading Holy Scripture only in the few minutes before Mass is not a path to Christian joy, still less letting dust settle on my Bible at home. Serving those in need only by dropping a gift in the collection plate or poor box is not a path to Christian joy, still less averting my eyes when I encounter someone lonely or bereft. Negotiating a truce with my favorite sins is not a path to Christian joy, still less refusing to say that my sins even are sins. No, friends, to live with joy as a fruit of the Holy Spirit requires that we heed all of St. Paul's instruction to the Philippians, and doing so allows us to rejoice even when we or those we love are in the midst of hardship, suffering, pain, sadness, or grief. So, let us attend again to the words of the Apostle Paul. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.